from Illinois Public Media. This is the 21st show coming to you from the Quad Cities at Mercado on 5th's Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead celebration. And for the next hour, we're going to be highlighting the culture, food, art, and music that make up this event. We taped our entire program on location Saturday in Moline, Illinois, and Davenport, Iowa. And we start today's program with one of the elected officials who represents this area. Eric Sorensen is the congressman for Illinois' 17th district in the U.S. House of Representatives. The district starts in Moline in Rock Island, heads east to Rockford, and reaches south to Peoria, Bloomington, Normal, and Macomb. Before that, our listeners in northern Illinois might recognize him as a meteorologist from WQAD in the Quad Cities, and before that, WREX in Rockford. Representative Sorensen, welcome to the 21st show.
That's good to be with you.
Welcome to Moline.
Thank you very much. So you have had quite an interesting time to start in the Congress. You've had not one but two marathon searches for a Speaker of the House. What has it been like watching all of this play out from the Democratic side of the aisle?
Right. We, the freshman members of Congress, we don't have anything to compare this to. So it's been important for me to sit down with the members of Congress on the floor of the House with those who have been here a long time, you know, with the Steny Hoyers, with Nancy Pelosi, with all of these other members, to say, what does it mean for you, right? And then to hear from them say that this is completely unorthodox. These are things that have happened never before. Or that the House of Representatives shouldn't be like this. And so it gives all of us an idea of what we need to do now to change it.
What does it say to you about the state of our democracy in general, right? That so much time has been spent on just selecting a leader for the Republican Party.
Right. 19 times I voted for Speaker of the House. And so when people at home, or people around Illinois need to think about this, those are 19 votes that shouldn't have happened. We should have had one, right? So we wasted a lot of time. We wasted a lot of time even thinking about what we needed to do, right? And we're not solving the problems that the people have sent us to Congress to do. And so we've got a lot of time that we need to make up. And it's my hope that there still is that bipartisan path forward. We've been saying that over and over and over again, because it's not just what we need and how Congress needs to work. That's what how it works here in Moline, Illinois. You know, we work neighbor by neighbor, and we're all bipartisan here. But we get things done in our neighborhoods, and Congress should kind of learn that lesson for how we do it here in our neighborhoods.
So one of the big issues that everybody's been talking a lot about is the federal budget, right? There was this continuing resolution, they call it, kind of a pause button. It was going to be 45 days for Republicans and Democrats to work out some differences. And then turns out 3 weeks of that was taken up with the speaker fight. Is there going to be a shutdown?
Well, we're 2.5 weeks away, so it remains to be seen whether this new Speaker of the House wants another CR, or is this Speaker of the House willing to go so far as to shut the government down for his political ideology? And we don't know. We don't know right now. But we have to understand that if we got to that point where this continuing resolution expires, then that means real hardship for our men and women, our service members. You know, we're talking right now a stone's throw from the Rock Island Arsenal. We have so many men and women that depend on the Rock Island Arsenal and our federal government to be able to pay their bills. And so we need to make sure that we don't shortchange, again, the people in our neighborhoods.
Arguably, what we've just seen the House Republicans go through is not really reckon with the fact that Democrats still control the Senate, control the presidency, right? Because they could have chosen a more consensus-oriented speaker, they didn't. Arguably, the showbiz wing of the party is ascendant. How do you make sure, you know, people who want to be celebrities on TV news or social media or something like that? How do you make sure, as somebody who is yourself active on social media, for example, that you are not sort of contributing to that bitterness and polarization in American politics?
I mean, we have to look here, and I know this from my 22 years in broadcast news. I mean, there's a lot of folks that are run on their egos. And we see that in Congress, too. There are people there that just want to say the most outrageous soundbite so they get the attention. And I think of that much like how we as adults understand when a toddler is having a temper tantrum. The way that we get that temper tantrum to stop is we don't give them the attention that they don't deserve, and then they'll stop doing it. We need to do that in Congress with those people that don't deserve the attention that they're getting. And that's what's happening here today. In fact, I think this dysfunction that we're seeing, I don't think that this is even a Republican versus a Democratic thing. This is the House GOP has a certain number of people that are the extremists that are dictating to everyone else what they want us to do. And so we need that bipartisan path forward so that we can actually get work done.
Let's talk about the new speaker, Mike Johnson. Not only was he a key player in the efforts to overturn the 2020 election, he's also been a dedicated opponent of abortion rights and LGBTQ rights. He actually introduced legislation last year that would ban discussion about LGBTQ people in any federally funded event or program for children under age 10. Just acknowledging someone is gay or transgender would be the equivalent of showing kids sexually explicit material under this proposal. How are you thinking about that? You know, that someone with those views is now the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, I don't think that the new Speaker speaks on behalf of the residents of this district, because he obviously hasn't been to clock our LGBTQ community center here in Moline, Rock Island, serving our youth and especially our LGBTQ kids. I'm proud to be the first LGBTQ member of Congress ever elected in the state of Illinois. Why did it happen? Because people got to know who I was. People got to know who my partner Sean is. Because we're members of the community, because we give back, and we are present. And for many of the voters in this district, it didn't matter to them. And I don't believe it should matter on the legislative branch in the House of Representatives. You know, it's 2023. The fact that we actually have legislation that is going to take people's rights away, whether that's LGBTQ rights or even a woman's right to do with her body what she needs done, that should be discussed between her family and her doctor in her doctor's office. These aren't discussions that should be happening in the legislative branch. Look, I mean, people are having a hard time making ends meet today. We got to solve the issues on people's kitchen tables, and this is not one of them. And this also shouldn't divide us as we go to the polls in the next year.
People are afraid, though, right? It's one of our producers, you know, follows a lot of these issues on social media. People in the LGBTQ community are worried about what this means and the information that's come out. What do you say to your fellow LGBTQ Illinoisans and Americans who might be fearing what the future holds?
Well, I'm afraid too. I'm afraid of the extremists that are so emboldened today, that feel that their voices are louder than ours. We need to make sure that we are together as a community, that we're together as people moving forward. And just because people are loud, it doesn't mean that they have the political clout, the energy, or the ability to change our lives. You know, the loudest person rarely has the most power. And case example here, in 2022, the 17th Congressional District of Illinois elected an LGBTQ member to Congress, right across the river from Iowa, where there are all these pushbacks. It feels like we're going back in time there. Well, also, just look. I mean, it's me in Western Illinois. It's Angie Craig, who is an LGBTQ member of Congress in Southern Minnesota. It's Sharice Davids in Northeastern Kansas, who is an LGBTQ member of Congress. I mean, we are here, we are in Congress, and it's not just that I represent Illinois 17. I want to make sure that I do right, because someday we're going to be looked at as the ancestors. What did we do today? What are we going to do tomorrow that's going to make that positive impact?
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with freshman Democratic Congressman Eric Sorensen. We are in Moline, Illinois. We take this interview on Saturday at Mercado on 5th, Dia de los Muertos, celebration and observance. You mentioned the Congress getting back to kitchen table issues, and quite literally one of those has to do with the Farm Bill. We've seen a number of your Republican colleagues really wanting to separate out the sort of food assistance from the farm and more farm assistance and policy aspects of that legislation. Is that even a possibility? You're on the Ag Committee. You're working on these issues.
Well, look, I mean, we're in the minority in Congress, so we do not have the upper hand today. And so it is about, we've got great members of Congress on the Democratic side from Illinois in the Agriculture Committee, and we're fighting for that. Food security should not be on the line, especially when everybody knows that the price of food has gone up. Why are we making it harder for people? We need to make it so that more people have the ability to be fed, and we're talking about real people. And so the fact that this issue is being used as a political football, that's unconscionable to me. As people in this community are having a harder time. And so we have to make sure that we get a farm bill through and that it doesn't have all these draconian cuts, because that's not going to be a farm bill that I would support.
Is it possible to even get it through the Congress if it's separated out? I mean, you have a Democratic-controlled Senate still.
Right. I mean, there's a scenario here where if we don't get a farm bill out of the House, then the Senate is going to have to punt a farm bill back to us, the House, and then we'll have to get it through. And so there is a possibility that we do that. But what I don't want to see happen here is that the farm bill gets delayed in such a way that now it gets put into this political presidential election time where partisan politics takes over, because we certainly don't want this poison to be put into the farm bill where we're actually doing good by our farmers, our producers, and also connecting people to food assistance.
You focused a lot on climate policy as well in your campaign and time in office. Is the farm bill an appropriate vehicle for affecting climate policy? Because I know one of the big divisions we were getting news releases from your Illinois congressional colleague, Mary Miller, talking about all the different climate programs she was voting to defund in the lead up to the continuing resolution vote that happened a few weeks ago. Will climate policy be something that's baked more into the farm bill in the future?
Absolutely. I mean, you look right now at the farm bill and the addition of all of the funds from the Inflation Reduction Act, all of the climate policy, the $5 billion that goes there. Right now, we all have to understand that the House GOP wants to take that funding for conservation out of the farm bill and divvy it up to pet projects. And so I'm standing up against that, saying, no, this was already legislated and this is now law. You can't change what was originally legislated in the IRA and reappropriate it somewhere else. And so when I talk with stakeholders and farmers and producers in Western and Northwestern Illinois, listen, you can't tell a farmer that climate change is a hoax because they know you're lying to them. And so I really would love to know where a climate denier, who they're talking to. Because the farmers in my district understand what sustainability means. It means doing what's right today so that their kids and their grandkids have a chance on their farm.
In the time we have remaining, a couple more policy points. The president has called for funding both Israel, support for Israel's military efforts against Hamas, as well as Ukraine. But we're hearing Republicans say, no, these need to be separate items. Where are you on this issue?
I think they need to be together. I mean, look, the rest of the world is looking at what we are doing in our country today. Okay? And quite frankly, there are three democracies around the world that are in jeopardy. You could say that the fourth is our own. We have to make sure that we have assistance to Ukraine because of, if we didn't, what is the worst case scenario? That Vladimir Putin is emboldened to go somewhere else. We have to say no and stop it. Also, Israel, it's personal to me because I just got back from Israel before October 7th. So I was there in the kibbutz that was ransacked. You know, I gave high fives to the small children there that were murdered. And so it's personal to me, but we also have to understand that Hamas is not Palestinian and the Palestinians are not Hamas. Two different things. We have to make sure that humanitarian aid gets where it needs to help innocent people. But we also have to root out the terror and the terrorists that are in Hamas, because we know if we don't do that, it's going to embolden Hezbollah and Syria and Iran and who knows where else. And then finally, we have to make sure that we stand with Taiwan, because China is looking also at what the American government is doing for our allies, because they know if we don't do enough, it's just going to open up the opportunity for them to go across that 100 miles of ocean to Taiwan.
Just about less than a minute remaining in our time together. We are here at Mercado on 5th, Day of the Dead festivities. There's been a lot of talk that Latino voters are maybe not as solidly Democratic, capital D, Democratic Party, as people might have once thought they were. What is your quick pitch to them as to why Democrats have their interests more at heart than Republicans, in your view?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we have to open up opportunities to everyone. And we have such a diverse community here in Moline and Rock Island, as well as Rockford and Peoria, Bloomington, Normal, too. We have to make sure that there is opportunity for people to live in safe communities, to grow, to be accepted, and then to excel. And so they're going to have somebody in me, in Congress, that's going to fight for them. And so, listen, we're going to have to make that case. We're going to have to sit down and talk with people again. Here we are on the other side of the pandemic, and I really think that's something that all of us could share. You know, to go and talk with our neighbors again, to find out, in the end, there's way more that we value that's in common than our differences.
Congressman Sorensen, thanks for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Great to be with you. Thanks for being here.
We are about to head across the river to the Figge Art Museum. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.